Ready to broadcast the COVID-19 post-pandemic show. Anytime now. Seville 107.5 and 1260 WCHV.
When we all have a face that we hide away forever, and we take them out and show ourselves when everyone has gone. Some are satin, some are steel, some are silk and some are leather. They're the faces of a stranger, but we love to try them on.
Since Mike brought up the subject of masks and his own particular issues with the authorities when it came to, you know, what were no longer mandates on mask wearing, I wanted to report on a story probably not going to get any run anywhere else except on his own program. And I presume I didn't get a chance to listen on Friday, but I presume this came up a little bit on Rob's radio show. Rob Schilling has prevailed. There's been a settlement agreement in his assault and attempt to deny him his right to vote because he wasn't complying in what did Chapman Peterson call it? A patently political speech that was in a letter to the Fairfax County School Board. Democrat State Senator Chap Peterson said, since there is no science, first part of the letter is he debunks all the science, quote unquote, or the scientism used behind mask mandates. And he said, therefore, as a good lawyer, it said, therefore, since there is no scientific backing to a mask mandate, one must presume it is political speech, and compelled political speech, I believe, is actually in violation of state election law. I mean, if you wear something bearing political speech at a polling place, I think that's against the law too. Now I'm on the phone now. He's on hold with us. Is the attorney for the aggrieved, the great Matthew Harden of the Government Accountability and Oversight Group, but also working on behalf of Rob Schilling as his attorney in this case against the Albemarle Registrar et al. I don't know who all the plaintiffs were in it. Matt, thank you for taking some time out this morning. How are you doing, sir?
Wonderful, Joe, and it's great to be on again.
I don't want to mess up anything legally. I'm just the talking baboon inside the radio. But so tell us about this settlement that Rob won in court on, I guess it was Thursday afternoon.
Well, I wouldn't say that you're quite as ugly as a baboon.
Okay, well, but I appreciate that.
I'll answer your question. So the court ruled that Rob Schilling's suit could not be dismissed, that it was a constitutional violation if what he alleged took place actually happened, and that, of course, that he was denied the right to vote for a period of time because he wasn't wearing a mask and he was physically assaulted by some poll workers in Albemarle. After the court denied the defendant's motion to dismiss that suit, the defendants ended up settling. So Mr. Schilling has signed an agreement with the defendants in Albemarle County to settle that lawsuit. And that's, I think, going to be released probably by the county in the coming days. Folks might want to ask for it under the Freedom of Information Act because it is not a confidential settlement. And it's quite interesting.
Now, in the statement I received from Rob, you're quoted as saying that this is precedential regarding this. Now, I certainly felt that Chap Peterson's statement on the school mask mandates. Am I wrong that, you know, wearing political statements in a polling place is verboten as well? You're not supposed to be walking around saying vote for Biden, vote for Trump, you know, in a polling place, right?
Well, we have restrictions about how close you can get to the door and how you're allowed to contact individual voters. And I think that you're absolutely right that the mask has become like a talisman or a political statement. It's almost a religious article more than it is anything that people wear for, you know, medical or scientific reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And again, when Rob voted, he was told he wouldn't have to wear a mask. The mandate from the governor at the time, Ralph Northam, said that you had medical exemptions and that no one could be forced to prove a medical exemption. That was one of the silver linings in a very bad executive order, was that there were these medical exemptions and nobody could be required to prove a medical exemption. He claimed a medical exemption. He wrote to the registrar before he went to vote and said, hey, I'm planning on voting without a mask. Is there a problem? he was told there's no problem at all. And then, of course, after they lure him down to the polls, they assault him, ostensibly for not wearing a mask, which I think shows the absurdity of all of this, is that Rob went out of his way to ensure that he was following all the rules and that he would be permitted to vote, and he was still not permitted to vote. So what chance, if somebody works that hard to follow the law, still gets assaulted, what chance does, you know, every other person have at the polls to be able to exercise their franchise without getting beaten up?
Well, and also, given, you know, Rob and my personal positions in the world, why would you pick somebody who's got a platform to bring this out into the sunlight if you're trying to keep it buried? The average, you know, Joe and Joanne, if they were treated this way, they don't have a radio show. Now, maybe they can call into one at 434-964-1075 and tell their story. But you don't have the same position as a Rob or a Joe to get out there and say, "Hey, look at what just happened." And how, you know, I mean, no offense to the average bag of rocks, but you know, you have to be as dumb as a bag of rocks to say, "Hey, I'm going to do this to Rob Schilling, and maybe nobody will notice."
Well, I think that everybody's been cocky throughout this lawsuit. When the incident first happened, the first person that greeted Rob when he walked into the polls that day and started hassling him was the husband of Ann Malik, who is on the Albemarle County Board of Supervisors. So I think that there might be a level of hubris there. Then when we got to court, they made a really absurd argument. They said, you know, the Constitution protects the right to vote for people above 18 years of age, for people based on race and sex and so on. But there's really no constitutional right to vote except when you're in these protected classes. It was quite remarkable.
Wow.
They alleged that Rob Schilling had no constitutional right to vote. And of course, the court struck that down. But one of the things that also gets forgotten is there was a headline, I believe it was even on the front page of the Daily Progress, when we had our hearing on the motion to dismiss. The headline was, Schilling lawsuit comes under scrutiny of the court. And they said, you know, the court is closely scrutinizing this crazy lawsuit that Rob Schilling filed. Well, we won. And
where's that? Is that the front page? Is that above the fold?
And it was, as you said a minute ago, it was a published decision. So this is, their courts can publish decisions or leave them what's called unpublished. And if they're unpublished, they're not binding on everybody else that might want to litigate in Virginia. This is a published decision. So not only did Rob win, but Rob set a precedent that's going to protect every voter in the Western District of Virginia, which is somewhere, I think, Louisa or the Goochland County line west, all the way to the Kentucky line. Most of the geographic area of Virginia, Rob has now set a precedent protecting these folks' right to vote. Where was that in the Daily Progress? They were so eager to report when the court had some questions for Rob, and they thought they could rub Rob's nose in it. But now that we've won, I'd like to see the headline now.
Yeah, that's always the case. I mean, it is the court of public opinion, Matt. So I want to take it to the next level. A lot of listeners have been indefinitely furloughed from their jobs at UVA Health or Albemarle bus drivers or City of Charlottesville bus drivers for noncompliance with mandates that have fallen by the wayside. You know, does this set a precedent, or is it up to, you know, the diligent jurists like yourself to say, hey, this precedent could help this furloughed, you know, nurse or bus driver get their jobs back and perhaps even their back pay that they've lost?
Well, I think that Rob's case is going to protect folks who were retaliated against in their right to vote. So he's not going to be able to, his case isn't going to be able to help those who were retaliated against in employment. But I will say there are a lot of good employment cases coming out. Even the federal government right now, the Biden mandates have been enjoined by the courts. They are not being enforced. We hear an awful lot about folks being discharged from the military, but there are a bunch of good injunctions being issued by the courts to protect those who are serving in our military and might have sought exemption. So there is hope, and I do think that a lot of these mandates are being struck down. And right now, with the current political climate, instead of enforcing them, I think that a lot of politicians just sort of wish we would forget these mandates ever existed.
Mm-hmm. Well, and we earlier in the show, we were talking about the axiom, the process becomes the punishment. When you don't have grounds to stand on, then you just make the process become so untenable. This is where settlements like this, you know, are important, because at very least you need to have your legal fees and things covered by those that you have to fight with, so that, you know, with, whether it's back pay or your right to vote, you can't be punished by a government that has unending resources to wheel lawyers out, and you've got to pay your own personal barristers out of your pocket.
Well, and I think that's exactly why the government gets away with so much, is folks either don't have access to counsel or think that counsel is going to charge so much money. Back when the mandates were rolled out in 2020, a lot of folks just complied. They didn't fight because they felt like they didn't really have a prayer. Those that fought, I think, got decent results. As far as I know, no one was ever prosecuted for failure to wear a mask in the entire Commonwealth of Virginia over the course of the year plus that the mask mandate was in effect. But the government was able to intimidate people out of exercising their rights. Now, Rob is a fortunate guy because, as you say, he has a platform. And I'll tell you, on election day, the minute this happened, he called me and said, "Matt, what happened here? and is it legal?" So he's fortunate, but I think more people need to be reaching out to attorneys. And there are a lot of attorneys that do this work pro bono, just because it's important to hold the government accountable and make sure that they can't use the threat of litigation in order to silence criticism.
Well, I appreciate everything you do, Matt. Yeah, am I correct? It's Hardin Law PLLC at .com.
It's MatthewHardin.com, and and Hardin Law PLLC is the name of the firm.
Okay, well, I appreciate it. MatthewHardin.com. That's easy enough to remember. And bless you. We miss you in Greene County as Commonwealth's attorney, but we appreciate everything you're doing on the side of those who are victimized by the government. And I'm sure you'll be busy for quite a few years to come until we start burning off some of this kudzu. But I appreciate you jumping in on the show with us this morning.
Thank you, Joe. You have a good one.
We have been around for almost 90 years.
This morning alone,
and not a sign of any slowing down.
I took four meetings at Seville Coffee.
Seville 107.5 and 1260 WCHV.